Hey there, Dr. Andrea here. A few years ago, I appeared on the Dr. Oz show, a popular TV show in America, and I was talking about sex and the libido and orgasm. Yes, you heard me right. Well, one of the things that happened as a result of telling Dr. Oz that my patients are expected to have at least 3 orgasms a week, I started getting emails and phone calls. People were telling me that they were not having 3 orgasms a week, and they were lucky if they were even having 1 a month or 1 a year. And what I discovered after talking to people all around America and then later around the world, as I researched my most recent book, The Orgasm Prescription for Women, I discovered that this lack of ability to achieve pleasure or experience orgasm had deep, deep roots in some psychological wounds. So some people had actually experienced sexual trauma. Some people had been shamed or told that their sexuality was dirty or wrong or bad. And as a result of that, they were suffering in their adult intimate relationships. And to me, I found that really frustrating because when you look at most healthy people around the world, we recognize that our sexuality is so intrinsic to our vitality. I mean, the sexual energy, this vitality that allows us to create life, is meant to be flowing and meant to be nourishing. Now, I'm not saying that everyone needs to be out there having lascivious sex, and I'm not saying that you need to chase after an orgasm. I'm saying you need to recognize that as a sensual being, you have a right to pleasure in this divine body of yours. You have a right to have your own boundaries, to know what you want and what you don't want. That's your right. Well, what if you did experience some shame, or you had some experience that created these wounds, these traumatic blemishes that are impacting you now? Well, I want you to know that there's some help on the way. In fact, it's tantric healing. Now, true tantra is a healing program. Have you heard of it? And all tantra is actually not the same. Having shame-free sexuality is possible, and one of the ways to unite your body, your mind, your spirit, and your sexuality is through learning authentic tantra. So today, my guest is Devi Ward. She is the host of Sex is Medicine with Devi Ward. Devi has been featured as a tantra and female sexuality expert in countless articles and over 30 different radio and TV networks worldwide. And I think you're really going to find our conversation enlightening. Welcome to the slightly more provocative weekend edition of Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Tune in Saturday and Sunday to get fired up with insight and inspiration for conscious relationships and soulful success. Devi, it is so good to connect with you again. I love every time I get to be with you. Thank you, juicy, delicious, beautiful goddess that you are, for being with us here at Liberate Your Authentic Self.
Yes, you are welcome. Thank you so much for having me join you. And it's always a pleasure to connect with you. Always,
it
always.
It is. We always have such juicy conversations. I really want my audience to get some clarity and some understanding. So everyone is curious about Tantra. And as I've told you and your partner, Martha Schneider, I love that you're bringing authentic Tantra to the Western world. So let's start there, because I know that's what's on everyone's mind. And then we can get into your backstory and your mission to really help unite sex and spirit. But tell us, what is authentic Tantra?
Yeah, so authentic Tantra, the way we teach it, we define it as a sexual healing modality that is rooted in Tibetan Tantric Buddhist teachings. So Tantra, as we know, is a word in North America and the Western world that's very misunderstood and misused. Traditionally, Tantra, the word Tantra in our lineage, means to weave light and sound with form. That's the definition of the word Tantra in our lineage. And so from our perspective, if you're not weaving light and sound with form, then you're not actually practicing Tantra. The weaving of light and sound with form is a meditation practice. It's an internal yoga, so to speak. And these practices have been passed down in an oral tradition from teacher to student for over 2,600 years, stemming from the Buddha. That's where at least Tibetan tantric practices come from. That being said, there are different lineages and different styles of tantra. So originally, tantra started in India thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And there's different teachers and different lineages, and each of these different lineages have different techniques and different practices associated with them. So that's why it's really important in the world of tantra to know what is the lineage and what is the style? Because not all tantra is the same. The style of tantra that I practice is going to be very, very different than the style of tantra that someone who is, you know, coming from northern India is practicing, right? Everything from using different chakra systems to different energy body channels to actual different, like, you know, breathing techniques. They're all very, very different. Tantra is not one umbrella term.
But the one distinction that we can make is that neo-tantra and some of the things that Westerners, and not all Westerners are bad, but we've definitely seen this neo-tantra movement going into what people think of as free sex and sex with just random people, and it's sex for pleasure, as opposed to if we looked at true tantra, no matter what lineage, it really started off and is at its core a spiritual practice, right?
It's a discipline. Yes. It's a spiritual discipline that incorporates sexuality. So the thing about tantra, I think why, you know, the Westerners, like, it came to the West in the 70s, right? And I think the reason we as Westerners, because I'm one too, you know, we as Westerners were like, oh my God, is because it's a spiritual practice that instead of denying sexuality, actually embraces it. And so tantra contains some of the core instructions for how to utilize, how to harness human sexual energy and use it to transform your consciousness. It's a tool to realize enlightenment, including sexual union, and sometimes through the sexual act itself. So they're very specific practices that have been, you know, cultivated for thousands and thousands of years, and the goal of it is enlightenment. That's the goal of tantra. It's not to, you know, love everybody and have lots of sex. It's right. To use your sexual energy to heal, to empower, to transform, to enrich body, mind, and spirit. So that's the true goal of tantra. And what we call Western neo-tantra here, it's based in Hindu-style practices that came over from India. Osho was one of the first, you know, forebringers of tantra. And then there's other teachers as well that I can't remember off the top of my head. But what we call Western neo-tantra does stem from Hindu-based tantra. You'll find a lot of the same energy channels. You'll find the way the chakras are set up. Some of the breathing techniques are very Hindu-based. But the motivation and the orientation has been significantly watered down. And so that's why we run into this dilemma in the West of thinking that tantra is all about sex, or it's all about having multiple partners, or it's all about free love and expression. Those things may be a result of your tantra, but they're not tantra itself. Tantra is yoga. That's what my teacher says. It's yoga. It's a discipline. It's a practice, but it's a practice to help us become more fully who we are, who we truly are, coming from the understanding that we are Buddha, we are enlightened, we are divine human beings, and the only reason that we've forgotten is because of pain and trauma and ignorance. So we want to clear all that pain and trauma and ignorance so we can radiate and emanate our true, you know, our true selves, and then use that energy to benefit not just ourselves, but our communities, our planet, our friends, our family, our peers. It's all about creating this internal experience of freedom to be able to share that and benefit other living beings.
Yes. And that's really what the core of all spiritual practice is, right? It's a promise not just to heal yourself or get your salvation so that you go into the pearly white gates, but it's so that we unleash our divine power to eliminate suffering. And one of the things that I've heard you talk about before is this sort of collective wounding the consciousness that we live in as Westerners currently is not one of wholeness and vitality as it pertains to our sexuality. So talk to me about that aspect.
Yeah, and I would say that it goes beyond just Westerners. I would say as a planet, we are wounded in regards to our sexuality because we are so disassociated from it. And so there's this built-in denial, disassociation, disconnection from our genitals, from everything that happens below the waist. And so we find this in so many cultures throughout the world. Also, the oppression of female sexuality, you know, some of the practices that we do upon men, like male circumcision, which is highly traumatizing for the male brain to have that part of his lingam cut off. So many of the practices that we accept or normalize in this culture are deeply, deeply traumatizing to our bodies and to our psyches, particularly in the realm of sexuality. If we look in the Western culture, this huge, you know, hypocrisy between porn being a billion-dollar industry, you know, and women can't get birth control in certain states, right?
Right. So it makes no sense.
It's not rational. So we have this huge schism, this huge separation between our minds and our genitals and our sexuality and our sexual expression. And that causes a tremendous amount of dysfunction.
Well, let's break this into a few pieces, because I know that your mission is really to help heal and unify mind, body, and spirit, and bringing, you know, the uniting spirit and sex. But let's talk first, just briefly, on the dysfunction, because as I see it as a sex educator, part of the dysfunction that is so pervasive, and you mentioned it, is this sense of shame that down there, you know, we call it down there, we call it private parts, and it creates this culture of shame or dirtiness, so that when our young people are starting to experience pleasure, it creates this dichotomy, it creates this friction between, oh, wait, that's dirty and shameful, and yet, oh my gosh, it creates such pleasure. So let's talk about some of the sources of our dysfunction and how it's impacting us.
Yeah, well, one of the primary sources that I point to is when we were children and we were first discovering our genitals. So the way we as adults view children touching themselves, and I'm talking like toddlers, like age 2, 3, and you have a daughter. So, you know, most people I know, they can acknowledge like, yeah, when your kid at a certain age, you could not keep their hands off of their genitals.
And we've even seen little boys, I don't know if they're girls too, but we've seen ultrasounds of little boys in utero,
yes,
pulling on their lingam. I mean, they're pulling
yes
on their stuff because
exactly
it's linked to these pleasure receptors.
Exactly. And it's natural. Like, that's the thing that we forget or were conditioned out of the awareness, is that human beings are inherently sexual.
Yes.
There's a difference between being sexual and being erotic. Erotic is, you know, an adult expression. That's fantasy. It's what turns you on. But sexuality is just an inherent part of being human. And
yes,
touching our genitals, I mean, they're the most pleasurable places on our body. Of course we're going to touch them. So when we were two, you know, as adults, when we were 2 or 3, however old, and we were discovering our genitals, chances are somebody in our world, some authority figure, some adult, told us good girls or good boys don't do that, and shamed us for our pleasure. And it happens at an age when we're not able to actually make sense of that. We can't rationalize and be like, oh, well, they just have sexual issues. No, we're these little children that are like these little, you know, open sponges. And if someone comes into our life and says, brah, that's gonna traumatize us. And that trauma is gonna freeze in our nervous system and freeze in the cellular tissue of the body. And so that's the issue with many of these traumas, is that they imprint not in the conscious thinking mind, but in the physical body and in the nervous system itself. And so that is part of the reason that dysfunction occurs, because the drama of trauma blocks that connection, blocks that communication from these pleasure centers back to the brain. It actually creates like a obstacle in the nervous system and that communication.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, so they start early. That's the thing. And, you know, and I mentioned circumcision, which in North America is a male circumcision is a huge practice. Circumcision, when you cut off the foreskin of an infant boy, you're cutting off 70% of his sexual sensation. And it's been clinically shown that it causes irreversible brain trauma. So infant male circumcision causes irreversible brain trauma that affects emotion, the emotional connection and men being able to feel. You know, I find it interesting that in North American culture, often women complain that their men aren't emotionally open or sensitive. And that's a result, could be a result. Some people theorize that that's a result of the circumcision trauma because it affects the ability to emote. It affects the ability to relate, and it affects the anger controls. And I can't remember off the top of my head what those are called specifically. But it's a significant trauma that's happening to a large percentage of our men at birth, you know, right after birth.
And so in your practice, what are you seeing as the long-term consequences? So there are things that happen to us in our childhood that, you know, whether it's shame or it is this physical trauma of being circumcised. And then there is the adult that has to deal with those consequences. So I mentioned shame. I've seen women who literally say they feel guilty if they take too long to come. They feel that they need to rush. They feel that their pleasure is not as important as their male partner. They feel that they do feel a sense of shame when it comes to certain sexual practices. So what else are you seeing is the impact of these childhood experiences and trauma?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lack of sensation in the genitals. So a lot of women have numb vaginas. A lot of men have numb penises. I'm seeing like you said, the shame, but I'm also seeing a disassociation from the physical body. And feelings of disgust, a fear of advocating for your needs, a lack of clear boundaries.
Yes.
Right. I'm seeing a lot of dysfunction in intimate relationships, you know, and intimate relationships are the core of our society. If we can't relate, you know, as husband and wife or wife and wife or however, if we can't relate as intimate partners, how do we expect our society to function?
It can't. It will be dysfunctional. Absolutely.
And it is. Yeah. So I see so much of the dysfunction in relationship and then the dysfunction in our society can boil down to disconnection and disassociation from our physical body, particularly our sexual functioning and our sexual pleasure.
Well, let's talk a bit about this boundary issue because we always look at the potential outcomes. So we've seen that some people who have experienced some sort of sexual trauma or even shaming, when they got to their adolescent years and the hormones start kicking in and they realize there's this pleasure piece, there is this ambivalence. Some people shut it down and some people become more promiscuous and they seek connection through sexuality. And so you mentioned the boundaries. Talk to me about how you've seen some people using sex for intimacy, but not the deep relational intimacy. It's like trying to fill or repair something.
Well, yeah. And again, that's part, particularly as heterosexual females, the way we're conditioned very often is that our sex and our pleasure is for our male partners, right? And so it's more of a performance. We're putting on a show. And then there's, you know, this prevalence of porn, which demonstrates to us what sex should look like, or we think sex should look like. And so there's very few resources for young people to actually visually see, to witness what healthy sexual interaction looks like. And so we're kind of left to our own devices and left to resources that are not necessarily the most, you know, conducive to learning how to interact healthy with health and awareness in our sexual relationship. And so I'll speak to my own personal experience, having a history of sexual trauma, having a history of sexual abuse, and being very much disassociated and disconnected from my body and my sexuality, and using it exactly as you said, as a shortcut to intimacy or as a substitute for true emotional intimacy. And for me, what I witnessed is that the more I integrated my sexual connection to myself, not in relationship to another person, but my sexual relationship to myself and my own genitals, my vagina, my own body, and begin exploring and accepting and embracing my own pleasure, freeing myself from shame and guilt, I got really, really clear about what my yes was, what a full body yes was. And by getting really clear about what my yes was for me, I was able to really clearly see when it was a no in relationship to somebody or something else. And so by honoring my full body, wholehearted yes, I've been able to at the same time really truly honor my no, because I was very aware. I could really see the contrast. And coming home to myself, my yes was so exquisite and so joyous. I was unwilling to compromise or sacrifice that for anything less.
That, you know what? I want to dig into that, because I think that is part of the promise of sexual healing. And so when we get back from the break, Devi, I would love it if you explain and explore a little bit more of how your journey into Tantra led to that healing and got you to that place of knowing that exquisite yes. When we take this little short break, and we'll be right back.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. What if you could unleash your authentic sexual self? What if you could finally truly love and adore your body and then share your pleasure with your beloved in the most healthy, exquisite, and yes, even blissful way? Well, I'm here to tell you that that and so much more is possible. So talking about this juicy, delicious topic of authentic Tantra is Devi Ward. She is the co-founder of Authentic Tantra, Inc. So Devi, before we went to the break, we were talking about you reaching that place of that deep bodied yes, where you know your boundaries, you know what feels right for you and how to safely say no. So how did you get to that place? How did Tantra, you know, this spiritual practice, lead you to that place of utter confidence in being able to speak up for yourself?
Yeah, so the Tantra led me to that because of the incorporation of sexuality. So just to back up a little bit, I mean, I had been on a spiritual path since I was 23. I'm 42 now, right? And so when I was 23, I became a monk of the Ashaya Order. And so I had done, you know, I was a monk for 10 years. I'd done crystal healing. I'd done raw foods. I'd done Reiki. I'd done all these things. And they were all very, very necessary for my, you know, health and wellness and personal development. But it wasn't until I incorporated tantric sexual practices that I was able to actually dig into some of this subconscious root core trauma that I had been kind of skimming the surface of my entire life. I truly believe it's because of how and where we store trauma in the body, how and where we store these emotional imprints in the actual cellular tissue and the nervous system itself. So through Tantra, I was trained by a master. So when I entered into the world of Tantra, it was not because I wanted to learn how to have better sex with my boyfriend. I was offered the opportunity to formally train in Tibetan tantric sexual practices by a tantric master. And it was a six-month period of formal training. And so it wasn't, you know, there was no la-la or fluffy clouds about it. It was like I diving into my deepest stuff and using this tool to transform my deepest woundings in life.
Right. And it's not a bunch of orgies. This is true spiritual work on you first before you even touch a partner, you know.
It's a discipline. For example, before I was able to even have a partner practice with my trainer, he gave me a sheet of paper with all these different mantras and all these different visualizations and said, okay, I want you to memorize this. And then I want you to masturbate while visualizing this. And after you've done this for 2 weeks, then we can practice together. Right. So I had homework.
Yeah.
before I could even show up for the partner practices. So it was by addressing the sexuality itself and utilizing that. So think of sexual energy. It is the most potent creative energy on this planet. We create life, literally life, with our sexual energy. So yes, if we're not creating life, if we're not creating new human beings, what happens to all that energy?
That's the greatest question, right?
That's a great question.
So do you spill it out or can we channel it?
Exactly. So that is the core of traditional tantric practices. These are the instructions to how on how to use that energy for, as I said, the transformation of consciousness and enriching the physical body, using it to build strength and health and wellness in your body, mind, and spirit, right? So it was by diving directly into the shadows, into the wounding. And I got to tell you, when I first started, I had no idea how deeply wounded I was sexually. And I think most of us don't know, right? Because we live in a culture that is pretty ignorant of sexuality, period.
Yeah, so, and we hide it. I mean, it's also a culture of hiding and secrets, and you don't go deep into even your own story. You just learn to cover it up.
Exactly. Well, and for instance, even, you know, not even being able to correctly talk about our genitals on, you know, mainstream broadcasting. I was on a show on NBC and I said vagina and penis and, you know, we got censored. I'm like, I can't even say vagina and penis. Like, I can't. We're adults here. You know, how insane is that?
Exactly. It's not a bad word. This is a part of our anatomy.
It's like saying toe or hand, right?
Exactly.
But this is the culture we live in. We're so terrified. There's so much shadow around our sexuality that it's only by diving deeply into it, confronting it head on, that we're going to be able to start unlocking some of what's buried there. And so for me, the training, getting the instruction from my trainer, from my, you know, teacher was very important. And to be clear, I did sexual training as well as non-sexual training. So I had non-sexual tantric practices from the Tibetan Shenkpa Kagyu lineage. And then I learned to apply them to my sexuality for the purpose of healing and growth. And so that's what I was trained in with my partner. And then individually, this is part of where... this is a piece for me that I think was even more profoundly healing. It was cultivating a relationship to my own yoni, my own vagina, and my own sexual pleasure, and the empowerment that came when I was able to pleasure myself more fully, more completely, more expansively than anyone I had ever been with. So I was able to really own my pleasure. It was no longer about, you know, it was for my male partner. And it was no longer about performing and looking good. It was about, I had to move through layers of shame. Like the first time I practiced tantric masturbation by myself, I was like disgusted and revolted and, you know, felt all kinds of shame and had all kinds of like, good girls don't do this and only sluts do this. And I had to move through all of those unconscious, subconscious that were in there that I wasn't even aware were stored in there. But I used pleasure as medicine to pass through these shadow realms, so to speak, and to liberate myself from these horrible voices in my head and become free of the shackles of cultural conditioning. And so I truly believe, particularly for women, because we receive so many messages that our sex is for our partner and that we are not entitled to our own pleasure, I believe it's so important for us to reclaim that through sacred self-pleasure, mindful masturbation, and the empowerment that comes from knowing how much pleasure we can give ourselves, that we're not reliant upon anybody else to give us or bring us pleasure. And then the way that shows up in the bedroom is I can be fearless communicating with my partner about my pleasure because I know 100% what feels good. And I can just say, hey, love, a little to the left, little to the right, little harder, little softer. There's no fear there. There's no shame there because I own my pleasure and I'm giving it as a gift to my partner.
Yes, yes, yes. You know, I love it. Absolutely. I love the sense of empowerment and sharing with women in particular, with women that you can own your pleasure, own your orgasm. You don't have to wait on your partner, and don't give all of that responsibility to your partner, whether male or female. This is your body. This is your pleasure. This is your orgasm, and your partner gets to play and enjoy along with you, but don't push that off on them, because then, yeah, you are going to end up being frustrated, and then that builds all this resentment and whatnot. So I love that you're bringing this out. You know, one of the things that you've been talking about a lot with me, and certainly in all of your programs, is this idea that we can unite sex and spirit, and it's going to bring us healing. So on an individual level, as you've personally experienced, and now that you've witnessed, as you've been training people around the world, it's healing for the individual. It's healing for the couple. But you also believe that it's going to be truly transformative and healing of our culture. And again, you brought up this idea of porn. And I want to talk about this because I find it very troubling that our young people are getting their sexual education no longer from, you know, from anyone close to them, whether that's school. I don't know that the school is the right place. They're not getting it at home. They're getting it off the internet and from their peers. And so if their peers are watching porn and thinking it's a documentary, that it's real, they're incorporating these beliefs that women like it like this and men should do it like this. And unfortunately, they're not recognizing that this isn't a documentary. This is fiction. These people are actors. And just because that girl is making that noise doesn't mean she enjoys it. But what I've seen, which just rips my heart out, is some of these girls, the young women that I've spoken to since, as you know, writing the book that I wrote, hearing them say, but everyone does it like this. Isn't this what I'm supposed to do? I didn't know I was supposed to get pleasure. I feel bad if I'm telling him what he should do because he thinks he knows what he's doing since he learned his moves. So this is the cultural paradigm we're existing in. And you believe that if people had this tantric exposure and awareness and understanding and maybe even education, that it could help us?
Oh, absolutely. So, you know, the thing that I think is so insidious about porn is not the porn itself. It's that it is the only visual resource we have for what it looks like for human beings to have sex, right? And we underestimate a culture, the power of visual modeling. This is how we learn. This is how human beings learn. We watch mommy sweep the floor and then, oh, I'm going to grab a broom and sweep the floor. So we learn so much of what we learn is simply passed down through social interactions. And that's why porn is so devastating. Because all on its own. I think, you know, watching human beings have sex is we've been doing it for millennia. You know, it's hot. As human beings, we're curious. We're going to explore, right? But if porn is our only resource for sexual exploration as young people and as adults, that's tragic because exactly what you said, it's not a documentary. It's like learning how to be in a healthy relationship by watching romantic comedies.
Right?
It's insane, right? So if we had other resources, if we had visual demonstrations of healthy, loving, authentic, intimate sexual connection, that was presented to us, not just as children, but as adults, so that we could visually see, oh, that's what it looks like to look into somebody's eyes and talk to them about my pleasure. Oh, that's what it looks like. Oh, that's how you stroke a clitoris. Oh, and that's how you can communicate about how much pressure you want on your clitoris. We need more than just books and articles for people to read. We need to see people doing this so that it imprints in our minds so we know how to mimic that. That's what we're doing as human beings. We're mimicking behavior that we see. Right?
Yes. So it sounds like you might agree with one of my previous guests who would love to start a movement called EduPorn, where if porn sites and porn pornographic or erotic films are going to exist, why not have films right alongside that show the art of making love, the art of intimacy? Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing to keep in mind is that most of what we're watching in mainstream porn and even mainstream sex education is not necessarily geared towards realizing your ultimate sexual potential. So our ultimate sexual potential is untapped. One of the things I love teaching is that female bodies are capable of over 11 different orgasms. Male bodies are capable of over 8 different kinds of orgasm. Orgasm and ejaculation are two separate functions of the nervous system. And men can have multiple full body orgasms without, you know, a single emission. And then we have conflicting so-called evidence in Western society that tells us that men should ejaculate often, right? So there's all this conflicting, you know, information that isn't necessarily based on some of these ancient philosophies where people realize their full sexual potential, where they could make love for 5 hours and go into transcendent states of bliss, where they were capable of, you know, having 11 different orgasms all in a row, you know, like just epic, epic experiences.
Epic experiences. Yes, I will happily put a link to your YouTube channel, because Devi and her partner, Martha, do these weekly sex tips, tantra tips. And you've talked about these different types of orgasms that men and women can achieve. I want to take you up on that point about ejaculation and whether it's healthy, right, or good for men to ejaculate a lot. Clearly, many people have heard about these Taoist sex practices that say that, hey guys, you can have an orgasm without ejaculating, and it's probably a good thing. That spilling your seed is also spilling that vital life force energy that you were just talking about. So what's your opinion on that for males? Let's talk about the male orgasm for a minute. What's your opinion on should he or should he not ejaculate, and how many orgasms, you know, ejaculatory orgasms is okay-ish?
Yeah, so what I've seen, and this is based on, you know, my empirical evidence being a tantra teacher for the last 10 years and working with both males and females, I've seen that the less frequently a male ejaculates and the more frequently he has non-ejaculatory orgasms, the healthier he is, the more empowered he feels in his sexuality, the more pleasurable the sex is for both him and his partner. I've used tantric semen retention techniques to heal erectile dysfunction. And I have many male students, particularly from the age of 35 to 60, who have used these techniques and have completely healed erectile dysfunction. We use these techniques to help men overcome premature ejaculation. Has worked in 100% of the cases in which we have prescribed these methods and the men have used them. And it's worked in absolutely every single case that we've used them. So from my perspective, it isn't the ejaculation that is incorrect, it's the frequency.
Okay.
So when working with a qualified instructor, you and your instructor can determine the optimal ejaculation frequency for you and your body, your age, and your time in training. For example, when a man first comes to work with me, if he's been ejaculating every day for his entire life, he's in a state of depletion. So I'm going to teach him methods to stop ejaculating, learn to separate orgasm from ejaculation in his nervous system so he can have multiple full body orgasms. And then his ejaculation frequency, it's going to be less frequent when he first starts out, because he's going to be regenerating his sexual chi. After a certain amount of time, he'll hit his balance point, he'll hit his neutral point, and he'll begin to build sexual chi instead of being depleted. And then he can, at that point, he can usually increase his ejaculation frequency. It depends so much on age and health. So, you know, it really depends. It can be once every 2 weeks, it can be once every 4 weeks, but he can increase his ejaculation frequency without it being damaging or depleting to him in any way. I was just going to say, a man will know if his ejaculation frequency is correct, because after he ejaculates, he will feel energized. He will feel like going for a jog. He won't want to go to sleep. He won't feel tired or drained. After ejaculates, he'll be like running around the house cleaning, you know, doing whatever. He will feel enlivened by his ejaculation as opposed to depleted. And that's how you know if your frequency is correct.
You hear that, ladies? There's hope for your guy yet. If you're tired of your man kind of rolling over and snoring after he has his ejaculation, you got to check out these techniques. Well, I'm glad that you brought this up because there's been a lot of people talking about it, and you see it spread around the internet that guys go on these challenges, and it creates a little bit of frustration because they haven't been properly trained. Because exactly. What you're describing is it doesn't mean you have to completely abstain from sex or even masturbation. You're teaching the man how to separate orgasm, which is this explosive thing that happens in the brain, and then the ripples go through the body, and ejaculation, which is this expulsion of fluid. Yeah. So I love that. I love that you're making that distinction really clear for us.
Yeah, they're very, I mean, it's been clinically proven that they're two separate functions in the nervous system. So I find it, you know, and this new study that came out that says that frequent ejaculation is good for the male prostate. That's not actually what they found. They found that frequent sex is good for the male prostate. They have not studied whether it's the ejaculation or the orgasm that's actually good for men's health because they've not been studying non-ejaculatory male sexual activity, only ejaculatory male sexual activity. And so I find it interesting, you know, that PhDs and doctors themselves don't understand that ejaculation and orgasm are two separate functions of the nervous system because that's scientifically verifiable. And so people doing sexual studies that don't know that basic concept, that orgasm and ejaculation are not the same thing and are not willing to study the effect of orgasm without ejaculation on the male prostate. So, you know, I take that information with a grain of salt and it really frustrates me when there's
an assumption
being made that it's the ejaculation that's healthy as opposed to the sexual activity and the orgasm itself that's healthy for their male prostate. Because I've seen just the opposite. I've seen frequent ejaculation absolutely debilitating to men, particularly as they age. They cannot get erections anymore. I mean, when they're frustrated, and so are their partners. And when they practice semen retention and start building their sexual chi and become multi-orgasmic, their lives change for the better.
Awesome. Well, when we get back from the break, I want to talk to you about what is the process? How does one learn Tantra? I know that we can fly around the world. We can meet up with you and your other practitioners and teachers. We can do it online. So when we come back, I want to talk about the actual steps. Like, how does somebody engage in this sexual healing modality that is authentic Tantra when we come back?
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. You'll find a whole host of shows and a great lineup back at AmericaOutLoud.com. And also, get the apps. We now stream 24/7 on Android and Apple. Just look for America Out Loud Talk Radio. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check out the live version of this show, where I answer your questions in real time. Visit facebook.com/Dr. Andrea Pennington. You can also submit your questions via email. Send it to drandrea@americaoutloud.com. That's DRANDREA@americaoutloud.com. So we've been talking about how you can use your sexuality and sensual pleasure to unleash more of your authentic energy, your potential, your drive, and yes, even your spiritual evolution. So Devi, I would love it if we could talk now about how does one embark on this journey to learning authentic tantra. What is it like? I mean, are we going to go to some retreat and then be naked with everybody? What are the different modalities that you teach within? Online, I know, is certainly a component of it. We'll talk about that. But tell me, how do we get started?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I've created a variety of online offerings. So when I say online offerings, I mean one-on-one personal coaching with a qualified teacher. And this is so, so important for the learning process because you really need somebody who's done these techniques and done these practices and gone through their own process of healing and realized the results to guide you through it.
Yes.
One thing I say with people, you know, people are always like, well, what's a good book to read about Tantra? And I'm like, well, you can read about Tantra, but you can't actually learn Tantra from a book. It's like trying to learn yoga from a book. It's okay. You can learn yoga theory. You might try out some postures, but there's no substitute to going to class once a week and getting instruction from a certified or qualified teacher, right? So through our website, the programs that we offer an authentic Tantra certification program because Tantra is a growing, there's a growing need for real,
yes,
true, authentic Tantric instruction in the world. I mean, we need it as a planet. And so there's a growing awareness of it, particularly in North America and Europe. And so we train and certify qualified teachers, qualified instructors to go out and teach women, men, and couples how to incorporate Tantra into their everyday life and heal sexual trauma and empower their lives through these teachings. So that's one offering that we have.
So in other words, they meet with a certified practitioner, a teacher via Skype, for example. They get their homework assignments, they get the reading, they get some videos to watch, but then they actually have a human that they can talk to and get instruction. And
yes, guidance. That's so, so important. And we do, so we have our certification program, and then we also, what we offer are 12 session coaching programs, which are exactly like that. So it's like you and I meeting here, we'd meet once a week, every week, you'd receive the oral instruction. I have little yoni models and lingam models that I show you how to do all the sexual techniques on, but you have the support and you have the guidance. And so I give you the instruction, you go do your homework, you watch your videos, you do your written assignments, then you come back, we check in, and then I give you more instruction. So I like to teach in what I call a slow drip method, which is, you know, we layer each technique one upon the other, and each session is cumulative based upon the last, so that we're going through this process of integration over this period of time. And so that's what we train our instructors to be able to support people to do.
And do we have to become Tibetan Buddhists to practice your style of Tantra?
No, it's not a religion. So Tantra is, again, it's yoga. It's a practice. It's a technique. It's a method. So there's philosophy that goes along with it. And of course, we're going to share some of that philosophy, but it's about being kind and being compassionate and being considerate and being of benefit to yourself and to others. But ultimately, my Lama says that Tantra is medicine. It's a holistic healing program is what he calls it. And he's, you know, he's a Tibetan Buddhist Lama, and he continuously says this is not about Buddhism. This is not about a religion. This is about healing body, mind, spirit, and sex. That's what it's about. So,
got
and
it.
These Tantra are simply the methods to catalyze that healing.
Okay. And so that's our online or virtual version. And you have in-person workshops, retreats, certification. What do you do in person?
Yeah, so our in-person experiences are what we call Tantra immersion experiences. And so this is, you know, there's, in my opinion, the online is wonderful. It's a fabulous thing, and we work with people all over the world, but there's no substitute for being live in flesh, in person, with that, you know, with that other human being, with your instructor. Because again, there's a transmission that occurs, an energetic transmission that occurs that isn't necessarily going to have that same impact long distance. And so we take you in these immersion experiences, we guide you through each of the methods. And the thing that I love about the style of Tantra that we practice is you can do it with your clothes on, right? You can practice because it's about cultivating intimacy and connection. So you can use tantric breathing practices to, you know, to create an energetic connection fully clothed. You can learn how to communicate about your pleasure fully clothed. You can learn how to awaken more sexual sensation through movement and dance fully clothed. And then when it comes to learning the genital pleasuring techniques, I usually demonstrate on anatomical models because I'm sensitive to the fact that for me, when I was first starting Tantra, I did not want to like walk into a room and see some naked person I didn't know. You know? I didn't want to do that at that point in time. Now I'd be cool with it. But at that time I was, you know, because I had so much of my own sexual wounding, that would have terrified me. So we pride ourselves on creating an environment that's very accessible for your average everyday person who may not be entirely comfortable being around other people who are naked initially right off the bat. So we do many of our anatomical demonstrations or the genital demonstrations on anatomical models. So we have rubber yonis, rubber lingams, and we demonstrate the techniques on that. And then we encourage people to go to their rooms or go home and practice themselves and then come back to us the next day and let us know how it went so we can continue to kind of tweak and give you guidance. So it's a very supportive environment that is also very non-threatening and very respectful of people's boundaries.
And where do those take place, the immersive trainings?
Right. So right now, the only two immersion trainings that we have going are as part of our certification program. What we're hoping to do in the near future is be offering these Tantra immersion classes to the general public so that they can partake of them as well. So that would be minus all the, you know, certification curriculum. In the past, I used to do one-day workshops here in Vancouver and around, and that was the way I would teach, is having everybody come in and just kind of dive in and get a real hands-on experience, tangible experience of the technique. So the public immersion retreats and the public immersion workshops, keep an eye on our website because they will be coming up very soon.
Right. So you can check out AuthenticTantra.com. And you and I talked when we spoke last several months ago. I said, you know, I want to bring you here to either the south of France or the UK so we could have one of these little mini immersive workshops. So, you know, I love that you've created a safe way for people to get a taste of your style of teaching. And for me, I just fell in love with the whole artistic style, that the way you've designed the videos and the website, and it's all tasteful and it's really beautiful. So talk to us about one of the things that you're offering us for free, which is the Female Pleasure Guide, which does show, okay, I'm not saying it's pornographic, but it really is giving us a hint at how a woman can, yeah, experience pleasure.
Yeah. So the Female Pleasure Guide itself uncovers the over 11 different kinds of female orgasms. So most of us didn't know that our bodies were capable of I think our last count was like 14 or 15, right?
Yeah.
So it keeps growing. It keeps evolving. And so many of these different orgasms are related to our anatomy. So it tells us in this Female Pleasure Guide, we share with you what those 11 different orgasms are and why they're possible. That's so important for us to understand why and how our bodies work the way they work to allow these kinds of sensations to arise. Then we talk about what the top three blocks to bliss are. So if we're capable of over 11 different orgasms, why aren't we having them? What's going on? What's in the way? So we uncover the top three blocks to bliss, and then we give you four keys for awakening your full sensual potential. So how do you start unlocking these experiences of bliss and pleasure in your body, mind, spirit, and sex? So we give you four keys to start working on that right away. Then we actually have a six-module online Tantra training program. So this is the Female Orgasm Intensive. And this is one of my one-on-one personal training programs that we actually put on video to make it more available to more people. And we launched this last December. And as part of your program, we have monthly webinars. And so we just had a webinar yesterday. And I've got to tell you that these women are having phenomenal experiences. phenomenal, not just because they're experiencing more pleasure and sensation than they ever have, but they're also uncovering woundings that they weren't even aware were there. And so it's just this beautiful healing process that we get to partake in. Yes, so you have access to the program for an entire year. And as part of that access, you have access to us as your instructors once a month, every month, and an hour webinar. And this is where you can come ask questions. And that's very dynamic and interactive.
Yes, awesome. And the other free thing that you're allowing us to get a hold of is the 7 keys to profound pleasure, right?
Yes, yeah. So the 7 keys for profound pleasure, that's a little ebook that I wrote a few years ago. And very near and dear to my heart. I wrote it so long ago, I can't remember off the top of my head everything that's included in it. But it's a really sweet, very beautiful ebook about 7 steps that you can take, again, to deepen and enhance your experience of pleasure by enhancing your connection. Like, that's truly at the root of everything. If we're disconnected from ourselves, we're disconnected from our pleasure. We can't expect, you know, to feel, to have great orgasms if we're not even in our bodies. So yeah, these 7 keys are geared towards reconnecting and cultivating reconnection with our hearts, with our bodies, with our sexuality, with our sensuality.
Yeah, I think that's so important. I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing in the world, because that connection with self, that reconnection and reclaiming our divine right to pleasure, that it's not a convenient, oh, you're lucky if you had it. This is our divine right. Yep. We don't have to wait for someone to give it to us. We can give it to ourselves. So I love, love, love the work that you're doing. As you know, I'm a huge fan. So I just want to thank you again for making yourself and these teachings available to us and being so open-minded and generous with just helping us demystify some of the confusion out there around what Tantra is. And I think the most exciting thing is letting people know that there's a juicy, delicious life beyond your trauma, beyond your pain, and you're going to get past the shame or the pain. You can get past that and actually love your body and love your life and share yourself in an intimate relationship in a way that is fulfilling to you and your beloved. So yeah, I just thank you once again. And I honor you for what you're doing for our planet, because I do know that, as you've said, this effect is not just healing individuals and couples, which is of course important, but it's really going to have this ripple effect that helps all of humanity. Yes. So, Devi Ward, thank you again. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, she's from Authentic Tantra. You can check her out online, authentictantra.com. I will also put links to the YouTube channel so you can check out the weekly sex Tantra tips and get a hold of these free resources. Devi, I wish you continued blessings and continued success.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you.
Thank you. So, my friends, I want you to remember that you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. And until next time, may you be free from suffering. May you be truly well in body, mind, and heart. And may you know true happiness. Much love. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Andrea. And did you know, I'm on the radio daily. Visit AmericaOutloud.com to download the Talk Radio app.